welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning and welcome. I'm kind of good to have communion. It felt like we had communion this morning. Praise God. We received that. And man, when you just take, you know, everything you do by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're saying, you know, you take communion by faith. Everything, man, we're just seeing that. We're believing. And as you do it with that heart intent, that purpose, there is such a powerful blessing that you can receive every time you take communion. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Philippian church, and he's got some things that he's going to communicate to them, and something that really comes out in this passage is Paul's heart cry. He says this, and he's just talking about just his life, about not, you know, trying to be right in himself, but he says, being found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now, this is the heart cry of the Apostle Paul, and I took the Amplified on verse 10a regarding, you know, what his heart cry was when he said, that I may know him. It says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Now, the Apostle Paul had some really amazing insights for us, you know, in this book of Philippians. He has some great keys that we see, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I've learned the secret to be content. You know, he's got some of these broad statements that are just like, almost like Philippian keys, different things that if you can kind of get these concepts, there's so many things that'll unlock for you. As I look at this particular passage, though, Philippians 3:10, and I see Paul's heart cry here, it is so poignant, it's so significant because of who Paul is and what he had already done by this point in his ministry. I mean, it's right around 60 to 62 AD that he writes Philippians, and at this point, he's already written most of his epistles to the church. Most of his writings were accomplished, you know, either at or before the time of Philippians. We know that he was caught up to the third heavens, and he saw things that can't even be uttered on earth. We know that he had that amazing Damascus Road experience where he saw a bright light shining as the noonday sun. We know the Apostle Paul has experienced all these things. And here he is, he's probably about 2 to 3 years from his own martyrdom. So, I mean, he's at the end of his walk. And his heart cry, his determined purpose, is that he might know him. Now, you think if anybody's got the resume at this point who could declare that they know him, it would be the Apostle Paul. But we see something about his heart here. We see something about the man that caused him to know God like he did, to live like he did. Because not only had he had all those amazing experiences in God, but you can also read where he experienced shipwrecks and beatings and persecutions and things like that. But none of that moved him. There was something that did move him, though, to know him, to know Jesus Christ. That was his determined purpose. Now, later on in this chapter, he says this. He said, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can see he gives us a glimpse in terms of what makes him tick. He had a hunger to know Jesus. Not just the theology. He knew the theology. He understood, you know, righteousness, and he understood the Word of God. He understood a lot of the things that we'll preach on a Sunday morning. But there was something beyond the theology that drove this guy to know him, to know Jesus. In other words, it's just Jesus. It's Jesus in his rearview mirror, it's Jesus now, and it's Jesus out ahead of him. He's just Jesus. I like that we sang that song this morning. Jesus, it's always been you. Jesus, it always is you. Jesus, it always will be you. Amen. That's exactly right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every moment, we never lose that focus. And so, what I want to try to do this morning is I want to try to get in the Apostle Paul's heart and mind. I want to get in there with him, and I want us to try to get in there with him as well, too. And sorry, I think I clicked a few things here. Where I want to get to is basically where I'm just saying, destination Jesus. You understand? Paul, ever since he gave his heart to the Lord, it's been Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's in his Jesus mobile, and he's going forward for Jesus. It's just Jesus everywhere. But his life is pursued by Jesus. And so the title of my message this morning is Destination Jesus. Now, again, this isn't going to be theology you probably don't already know, but I want you to allow the Holy Spirit through the second sermon to speak to your heart this morning. Because I'm telling you what, your walk, my walk with Jesus, I've noticed it can get complacent. It can feel like I'm not going anywhere. You almost feel like a June bug on its back. You got a lot of things going. You got all the limbs going, but it's like, you know, you're not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to church on a Sunday morning. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm, you know, yeah, happy June. It's June bugs. But you know what? They're working hard, but they ain't going anywhere. And I've had that too, where it's like, man, I'm doing all the right stuff. But it's just like there's places in God I've enjoyed, and I want to get unstuck. I want to get traction. I want to be doing, I mean, I want it from the heart, you know? It's one thing to say from the heart and all the flowery words and even say it right and tones and all that, but that all means nothing if you're not really going somewhere in God, if you're not experiencing the power of his resurrection. And Paul wasn't about looking good. Paul didn't care about looking spiritual. He just wanted to know him. No matter what. And so this morning, I want that for me. I want that for us, that same heart, that we might know him. Destination Jesus. Why am I saying destination Jesus? Because destination is showing the motive and the heart and the forward reaching of my heart, you know, out ahead. What is my upward call of God in Christ? It's Jesus. He's right before me. He's the one I'm looking at, the one I'm seeking. So destination Jesus. And as we're looking at it, you can see the first one, seen this a few times, destination Jesus, not people. Let's just kind of look at a few scriptures. We'll comment. Mark 12, 30 through 31. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. The second is this. You must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these two. So we see here clearly Jesus tells us the commandments, the great commandments. The greatest commandment is to love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first one. And it's the first one for a reason. You couldn't start with the second commandment. The only reason you could do the second commandment is because you're doing the first commandment. You know, you can be nice to people when they're nice to you. But when people aren't nice to you or something happens or you need your love for Jesus and your loyalty to the word first to be able to do the second commandment. You know, even when you're not feeling it, but you're still loving, the only reason you're loving is because of the first commandment. He said to love. He said to forgive. I love him. That's why I walk in love. We love because he first loved us. We can love because he first loved us. We can forgive because he first forgave us. He shed his love abroad in our heart. It's important to kind of keep first things first. I got to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And here's something that Jesus, this is the way he put it. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. Message, I like the way it puts it, another little clarity here. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own self, can't be my disciple. He kind of puts it in a paradigm here that you've got to love me above all other relationships. Why? What are we talking about? Destination Jesus. Jesus is my destiny. Yeah, I've got people in heaven I'm looking forward to seeing, but the only reason I can see them is because Jesus. Jesus made the way. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Not my loved ones. Jesus loved me while I was a sinner. Jesus made the way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And you can't worship and you can't put human beings on the same pedestal or the same plane as Jesus. They don't belong there. And you can't live for God successfully if you do it. They got to come down. Jesus has to go up. That's healthy. That's right. And then you have the capacity to love. I mean, you look at those relationships. Jesus isolates the most precious relationships in our life when he's talking about this. And there's all kind of word that tells us how to love these precious people. How to honor your father and mother, to love your spouse as Christ loved the church, and to love your children and train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I mean, we can go down the line on the word of God, but when it comes to Jesus, he's first. He's got to have that place in our heart. And when you get this, this is just a heart adjustment. Destination Jesus, it will bring relief. Because when your whole Christianity is about trying to reconcile this relationship, it really isn't. Your whole Christianity is about Jesus. He loves you. He's for you. No matter who's done what to you, he has never done anything wrong to you. He's just loved you as your Lord. Even if we're faithless, he remains faithful to you. He can't deny himself. To see that picture of Jesus, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. It always was you, it always is you, it always will be you. Praise God. And in light of my relationship with him, I can love. I can forgive. I can encourage. But it has to be Jesus. Again, I'm just talking about heart adjustments. You see, the Apostle Paul, that I might know him. He went through a lot of stuff, the Bible says, with people and situations and issues, and his heart was Jesus. He loved Jesus. And what is this? This is just where you're not serving two masters, but you're putting Jesus first above people. We referenced the scripture before, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God, for we come to God in faith, knowing that he's real, and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. What am I saying? I'm saying so many times when I'm, like I said, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. My motives aren't quite right. I'm doing the right things, but my heart isn't Jesus. My heart has to be Jesus. I love you. I'm seeking you. Why is that important? Jesus said something would happen when you did that. And this is what happens. This is what Paul got addicted to. He says, the person who has my commands, we just read the commands, and keeps them, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. This is what Paul meant when he said, that I might know him. It's not like, Paul, do you know Jesus? He'd say, well, yes, in a technical theological sense, yes. But knowing him is a lifelong process. And when you're doing what God has told you to do, there is a revealing of your, there's a revealing of Him that takes place in it. For example, if you're in a situation where you've got people situations or people issues and whatnot, and there are things that, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, help me. I'm crying out to you. I'm looking to you. There's going to be a diligence that you have to overcome those things in your life. As you're diligently overcoming, as you're taking things to God in prayer, as you're keeping God first, I love this person, I love the situation, but Lord, you're first, you're foremost in my life. I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. There's no human being that has that place in my heart but God. No human being but Jesus. Only Jesus has places in my heart. And if other people have those places and I'm having to come, say, Lord, no, I want you, I want to trust you. I'm trusting love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to go before you. Praise God. God honors your vulnerability in that. He sees your heart. He sees the vulnerability. He sees your seriousness to want Him and to go after Him, to pursue Him. And there is something that happens. He'll manifest Himself to you. When you begin to say, Jesus, it's about you. It's all about you. You're the one. You are the captain of my salvation. Something happens. It gets your focus. This is what I would say is your compass. People are not my destination. People are the fruit of the ministry that God has me to minister to while I'm down here, to love. But Jesus is my destination. He is where I'm heading to. I'm called to love people. I'm called to worship Jesus. There's only one Lord of my life, and that's Jesus Christ. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ is what I just sense the power of the Spirit of God in the earth in these last days, just regenerating and rejuvenating. Who's Lord? Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. No matter who does what, you're the Lord of my life. And when I think about that in terms of freedom, deliverance. He's there. What it does is it forces you to have to clear your heart. It's like, that's not a scary thought to me that you're my Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Because if His Lordship is a scary thing to me, and I'm just talking to me, that means there's stuff I'm not wanting to quite turn over. And you're doing the right stuff, but you're not going anywhere. But when you say, no, that too, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. That is the greatest commandment. There's a return to the greatest commandment that produces a clearing and a freeing. And what is this first thing? Man, my heart, my goal is Jesus. Because if I make people, even if I put people above that, I'm kind of saying this. I love people more than God. I'm saying if I'm making them my object, I'm taking care, I'm looking to Jesus, and if there's something that I need to do, He's going to show me what that is. I'm not the boss of any human relationship. He's the boss, and I acknowledge Him in all my ways, and He directs my path. The Holy Spirit's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth, even that relationship issue. And Lord Jesus, I look to you. You are Lord. You're my destination. I love you. You're the one I'm pursuing. When you realize that, you're not intimidated by people. Your whole walk with God does not stand or fall on whether somebody does or doesn't forgive you. Your whole walk with God doesn't stand or fall on whether somebody does or doesn't do right to you. What is this? This is a call to the Lordship of Jesus. My destination is Jesus. I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. There's a shaking going on in my heart, and I'm ready for it. And I'm ready to be all His, all in. Lord Jesus, it's about you. My destination is Jesus, Jesus, not people. My destination is Jesus, not places. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Passion says, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. All right, another scripture kind of similar, a little bit of a companion back to Philippians. I pray with great faith for you, because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you, and will put this finishing and will put His finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he began that good work, he's going to continue maturing it. So here we go again. We're just kind of talking about Jesus. What's his role? Jesus is the finisher of our faith. He's the one I'm looking to in everything. The weights and the sins, laying them aside, I'm looking to Jesus. He began this good work, he's going to continue it. So right now, where's my gaze? It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm 24/7 Jesus. That I might know him, that I might know him with my life. And again, this is where things change. This is where you begin to go from glory to glory, right here. Because a lot of times when I'm talking about me as I'm growing up spiritually. I will have played games with God about different things in my life, those weights and those sins. And it's like, oh, you just think, man, if I could just be free from this thing, I'd be a powerhouse for God, or just that so easily beset me. And you have these different things. And again, so subtly, freedom from fear, freedom from addiction, freedom from just sickness and disease, freedom from things, before you know it, can become like, oh, this is the object of my faith. This is the object of my walk with God. And God has just begun to deal with me about Jesus is the reason. He's the reason why I'm getting up every morning. He's the reason I'm going to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. He said it to me this way. He said, Ed, if you'll make me your reason, you will accidentally get free from things you've been trying to get free from your whole life. Because we play games with our consecration, and then we feel pretty good about ourselves, and we da-da-da-da-da-da, and we're kind of negotiating things, and maybe prayer, answered prayer, that didn't get answered, we play hard to get with God, cold shoulder, da-da-da. There's all kinds of this underlying thing. That there's something about going back to the first commandment that just cleans all that out. It's just Jesus. Even if that prayer doesn't get answered exactly the way, it's just Jesus anyway. Who else am I going to go to? Who else has the words of eternal life? If I don't get it, it's still Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the one. Praise God. And I've seen that. I've experienced just such amazing freedom from things that I've fought with. And it's like amazing. It's where as you're pursuing him, the scripture says, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. On the inside, you're already a new creation. But you know that your body's fighting you. But thank God you can put to death the deeds of the body. All right? So if it's a place of financial freedom or freedom from addiction or freedom from fear or whatever that place is, as you're all in Jesus, you might even, as you're going all in Jesus, see a little road sign that says, freedom from fear, 50 miles ahead. Wow, cool. I'm going after Jesus. I know one thing today. I'm going to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. I'm going to diligently protect my heart today for him. That's all. Just for him. All of a sudden the paradigm shifts from that thing to Jesus. I just want Jesus. That I might know him. And why? And that thing's still attacking me, but I'm diligently protecting my heart because of him. I want to know him. I want to experience him in his presence. And there's, as you're going down that road and as you're faithful, just faithful every day to just get up and it's a brand new day. Every day I get up is not a new day to fight the devil. It's a new day to live for Jesus. If the devil gets in there, I'll deal with him according to his word, but I'm living for Jesus. And so I'm going after him. And as I'm doing it, I'm going along. I'm just loving Jesus, praise God. And yeah, it seems like the pull of the flesh is getting less and less. But what does the scripture say? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's kind of a sneaky way you walk in the Spirit. By just making Jesus your purpose and reason. You can't help but walk in the Spirit. And you begin to start to die to the things of the flesh, but you're not even, it's not even a big deal because it's not your destination. Freedom from that fear isn't my destination. It's just a place I'm passing through on my way to Jesus. That's my heart. That's my wholeheartedness. Praise God. 25 miles, 10 miles. Praise God. I'm looking straight ahead. It's working. I'm going to keep it working. You know, you get to that point pretty soon. The next thing you know, you're driving through that place, that freedom from whatever. But I'm not stopping the car. I might honk on the way through a few hallelujahs, but it's Jesus I'm going for. You know, and I'm going, it's an amazing thing when that weight and sin is laid aside. You know, that thing doesn't have a pull. Your speed goes up a few more notches too. You're going faster, less distracted. just like Hebrews said would happen. And you get even more focused on Jesus, and you're going like, wow, I like the trajectory of this thing. It's almost like you're cracking a code. This works! I'm going to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love what the Apostle Paul prayed. He just said, man, I pray the Father of glory, the Lord of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. I pray the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that He finds in us, His holy ones. And I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. A couple things to see here. You'll notice that he's praying a specific prayer. That is, he prays that you will experience, this is verse 18 in the middle there, and until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. And what he's praying for is he's praying for them to see something. That spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. When you do this, when you do what Hebrews tells you to do, and you're dealing with people things and financial things and, you know, your own flesh things and all that kind of stuff, and you're just looking unto Jesus, and you're looking unto Him and you're saying, Lord, I need your wisdom, I need your grace. This is a good prayer to pray when you're looking unto Jesus. Lord, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Show me something. Show me something, Lord. Because I'm telling you what, when you get serious about this and you begin to walk in the Spirit, He'll show you some things that'll change everything. And it's between you and Him. He'll give you glimpses, supernatural revelatory glimpses. What's the old adage? A picture paints a thousand words, right? Well, a revelation picture that He shows you can cast down a thousand imaginations all in one moment of time because you see something. And He makes Himself real to you. And He manifests Himself to you. Oh, that I might know Him. You get some of those experiences in God. I want to know Him. It's not just that you're free from that thing. You realize, wow, He really is more powerful than that thing. He really is greater than He that's in the world. Cool. What I've been believing my whole life is true. But it's better when I'm not on my back, but I'm on my feet and I'm going somewhere. But what makes you go somewhere? It's that heart, that destination God. Here's another thing that happens to you too. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We know that we get revelations. We see things that make us. So Jesus said, continue in the Word, you know the truth. The truth will make you free. You see stuff that makes you free. But something else happens when you have this determined heart purpose. When you say, ah, here we go, Lord. I'm so tempted. Like Peter, he's walking on the water. You want to look at the wind and the waves, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to get distracted with what I don't know. I'm going to still keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to still keep my focus on Him and trust Him. There's something that happens. Yeah, He'll show you things to come, but in that place of trust, there's a changing that takes place too. He changes you. You're not even the same person. Yeah, you're the same person in terms of spirit, soul, body, you're the same base, but you're changed. There's a glory to glory. There's a strength. Romans 1, 12, 1 through 2 says there's a metamorphosis. You're transformed. Something happens to you. You know, when the enemy, we talked last week about shelter in the secret place. The enemy, when he comes after you and he's fighting you, a lot of times think, oh, I got an attack from the devil, and we kind of think of it one way. He's attacking, we're in pain. And I'll tell you what, when the enemy attacks you, he's putting himself at risk. He's putting his kingdom at risk. It's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to knock you down and run away. He's not. In fact, he can only devour whom he may devour, because there's many he cannot devour. In fact, if he tries to devour you, he puts himself at risk because he's showing his hand. And he's expecting you to buy it. He's expecting you to get afraid and mad and scared and be distracted from God. That's what everybody does, right? But when you don't, and you see through it, there's something very powerful there. You know, when The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. They put their kingdom, their empire, at great risk. Had there been no bombing of Pearl Harbor, there likely wouldn't have been a bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There's cost, there's damage. It's a dangerous thing. When the enemy is attacking you, and what are you doing? I'm pulling into Jesus. I'm attacked. We talked about the shelter. And there is a shelter, but that shelter doesn't just shelter you from that. There's something else happens in that shelter. There's a transforming when you're pulling into him. Lord, God, I need your help. I need you. I'm looking to you. I'm trusting. I know for the last 20, 30 years I haven't, but today I am. Now it's different. Now you're my reason. You're my destination. Getting free from this attack is not my goal. You're my goal. I'm going through this attack to you. I'm going through it to you. And he'll begin to show you things to come. And I'm telling you what, you change. And not only do you change, the enemy sees you change. That'd be a pretty intimidating thing. You pick a fight with a guy, and all of a sudden, he changes. And he changes, and he changes. You think, man, I would have never picked a fight with this guy if I would have known he was going to do this. He changes into something you would have never attacked. You're changing. Do you understand? It's not all the pressure on me to, oh, there's a change that's taking place in you. What am I doing? It's destination Jesus. My goal isn't to get through this battle. I'm going to get through it all the way to Jesus and be productive for the kingdom of God. I'm not intimidated. On the inside, I'm diligently protecting my heart and keeping my life about Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you, it's a boring Christian life when it centers up on anything but Jesus. It's a soap opera spiritual saga and can be a form of spiritual self-seeking. But when it's about Jesus, it's not self-seeking anymore. Jesus, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. I am part of this great body of Jesus Christ. Use me for your glory. When that becomes the motivation of overcoming the flesh, the world, and the devil, man, it's just the means to an end of doing what he's called you to do. That's what Paul's heart was, that I might know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection. That was his passion. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for us in this place that that becomes our passion, our desire to know you. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, it has always been you. It always is you. It always will be you. I love you. I believe the gospel. You died on the cross for my sins. I receive the gift of forgiveness. I receive the gift of eternal life. And this is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ, your true Son. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. I've been bought with a price. I'm going to glorify you with it. I shake off the complacency. I shake off the self-pity. This isn't about me. This is about you. I am yours. I thank you now for manifesting yourself, making yourself real to me. When I look unto you, I see something, a revelation of your hope, of your power. That gives me focus. And that focus is you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're changing me from glory to glory. Every day is yours. You are my Lord. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm very specifically this morning preaching a place. I'm preaching a place. I'm preaching a place to bring your heart. Now you think, man, I know me. I know the weights and sins of sleep. You say, I've been fighting stuff. I'm telling you what, by faith, you go to that place. You believe he is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This isn't for pastors to go to that place. This is for everybody to live and love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. Make Jesus everything. Make Jesus the joy, the purpose. I'll tell you what, when you begin to behold him, you're changed from glory to glory. He'll show you what to do next. I'm not the finisher of your faith.
Jesus is. He might take some of the stuff we talked about today and say, yeah, do that. But it's because he's showing you to do it. He's your Lord. There's nothing like perceiving what he's saying and doing what he shows you to do and just doing it by faith and experiencing that freedom as you begin to pass through places. You dreamed about passing through your whole life. Now you're passing through them. Again, you might honk on the way through, but you're looking at Jesus. Going through battles that were always big, now they're not even that big anymore. Because Jesus is the reason. He's the focus. He's the purpose. He's why I'm living for God, is Jesus. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. And just let the Holy Spirit encourage you, begin to show you different places that that he wants you to trust him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.